This morning on WCHL, the Chapel Hill Police Department says it has one of Orange County's 6 armored vehicles, but that it's never had to deploy it.
It's something that you don't need until you need it.
Black students at UNC recently stood together to join the national Don't Shoot movement, as race discrimination still controls the nation's top headline. And North Carolina voters say they're not happy with the way the country is headed. These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill cover of traffic and weather together. In WCHL Championship Sports, UNC's women's soccer team has had a rocky preseason, but it's time to hit the pitch tonight with a regular season kickoff against Stanford.
I saw animal absolute chaos, which is certainly going to be typical in the preseason.
Plus, high school football kicks off the 2014 season tonight with all 6 area teams hitting the gridiron. And countdown to Carolina football is just 8 days.
To rebuild or renovate the Smith Center, that is the question.
That's this morning in Art Chansky's Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz begins now.
72 degrees, 8:06 at WCHL, the beginning of another warm day. Maybe not quite as warm as yesterday. Our high today, low 90s. There is a 40% chance of a shower or thunderstorm later on today. Otherwise, sunshine. Local law enforcement officials are responding to citizen concerns about the militarization of police. Chapel Hill police say they do have one armored truck, but it's never been deployed. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has more on the story.
The Peacekeeper. That's the popular nickname for the Cadillac Gauge Ranger, a 4x4 armored personnel carrier that's made its way from the U.S. military to the Chapel Hill Police Department. Lieutenant Josh Misamore says while it's never been used, it's vital that the department have one on hand.
It's something that you don't need until you need it. And I think for us, being in a situation where we needed it and didn't have it would be much worse than having it and not needing it.
The 1985 Peacekeeper was decommissioned by the military and then transferred to the Durham Police Department. Chapel Hill acquired it in 2011, using state and federal programs that funnel military surplus to local law enforcement. In addition to the armored truck, Chapel Hill police have also received military scopes and spare uniforms, but no weapons. Misamore says maintenance on the Peacekeeper is minimal, and to date it has only ever been used for training. If it were to be deployed, he says it would be for use as a rescue vehicle.
That is the reason that we got it. That's the way it's intended to be used and the way it would be used if we ever have to deploy it. That is that if an officer is down or a citizen is down in an area that it's unsafe for us to approach on foot or in a regular vehicle, we would use that armored vehicle to get officers in or medical personnel in to extract that officer or citizen in a safe way.
The Orange County Sheriff's Office also has an armored vehicle in its fleet, a V-150 Commando. But Misamore says the uses of the vehicles are different, and the logistics of deployment make it difficult for the departments to share.
There are always issues with sharing things, because who's responsible for the upkeep, who's responsible for getting it to us when we need it, how far away is it? Is it in Hillsboro where the Sheriff's Office is? Are you going to drive it, you know, the 15 or 20 minutes and delay a response?
Programs that transfer military surplus to local law enforcement have come under fire recently in the wake of the heavily armed police response to protesters in Ferguson, Missouri. The New York Times last week published information showing that nearly every county in North Carolina has received military surplus through the federal 1033 program. Law enforcement agencies based in Orange County have reportedly acquired 44 assault rifles and 6 armored vehicles, but it's not clear which agency has what. Misamore says he can only account for what Chapel Hill police have received.
I know they didn't come here.
Elected officials in Chapel Hill and Carrboro have said they plan to release more information on how military surplus is being used by local law enforcement. That report is still forthcoming. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
On just the second day of classes at the university, members of the Black Student Movement gathered in the pit on Wednesday to show their support of the Don't Shoot campaign, which is sweeping the nation. Carolina Black Caucus chair and lecturer in the Department of Exercise Science, Debbie Stroman, says members of the CBC also attended the rally.
America has a history of police not actually doing what they're supposed to in terms of protocol and training in terms of people of color. I think we're at a particular part in our country where people are fed up, and it doesn't matter your race, your age, your gender, sexual orientation, or your religion. But with the advent of technology and social media now, you can capture some of the negative things that are taking place.
Word quickly spread of the shooting in Ferguson, Missouri, that claimed the life of an 18-year-old black man, Michael Brown, shot and killed by a police officer on August 9th. That investigation is still underway. The streets have been filled with rioters and looters since that day in Ferguson, to the extent that the State Highway Patrol was called in by Missouri Governor Jay Nixon to take control of the town from the local police. The National Guard was later called in to help control crowds. On Thursday, Governor Nixon ordered the National Guard to start leaving because the situation had calmed down somewhat.
I think education is one of the most important keys to solve many issues. It has to start with education because people need to be informed. But oftentimes, education can be very, very painful for people who are resistant. They want to just hear their version of history. And sadly, the history that's being taught in most schools in America, especially K through 12, is not the complete history.
The Black Student Movement, or BSM as it's commonly known, says on its Facebook page that its mission is to be a voice for its members, to make sure its members stay connected with black ideals and culture, and to be a way to stay connected to the black community. Black Student Movement members posed for a photograph of the Daily Tar-Heel on Wednesday evening in which the group's president, Trey Mangum, told everyone to stand with their arms up and a stoic face. He said he first saw students at Howard University pose this way through a photo on social media.
There are a number of solutions that have been on the table, everything from a national conversation to reparations, but yet for some reason we can't seem to get the country and the country's leadership to embrace a conversation around what we can do to heal as a country and to be better. And so more often than not, it seems like recently we've had more incidents that are bringing this to a head, and it's becoming more and more uncomfortable again for people of all races.
UNC campus police investigating two burglaries that took place early Wednesday morning in UNC's Erringhouse Residence Hall. Victims on two different floors within that dorm reported that someone entered their rooms while they were sleeping and took cash out of their wallets. No suspect descriptions were available. Anyone with information about the burglary should call 911 or Crime Stoppers at 919-942-7515. Calls to Crime Stoppers are confidential and anonymous, and the caller may be eligible for a cash reward for information leading to an arrest. In its release, Alert Carolina says it could take hours for police to resolve the situation depending upon the circumstances. In the meantime, if you're directed by police or university personnel to take specific action, evacuate a building, stay out of a certain part of campus, go to your residence hall and stay there, anything like that, Alert Carolina asks that you please comply immediately. For a list of safety tips or to leave a tip anonymously online, you can find this story on our website, chapelbrook.com. As always, if you see suspicious activity of any kind, call 911, but don't call 911 or the Department of Public Safety merely to ask for information. Police phone lines need to be kept open for emergency communications. Ongoing now at the Carolina Inn, the town of Chapel Hill is hosting the summer meeting of the Mayor's Innovation Project, an annual conference of mayors from cities across the nation. Close to 90 mayors have gathered in Chapel Hill for this conference, the largest summer gathering in the history of the project. Topics discussed range from economic development to housing, as well as other issues faced by cities, large and small alike. Speakers include mayors, former mayors, town managers, and housing and economic development experts like David Zipper, Chapel Hill High School class of 1996. He's now a Washington-based economic development expert. He's worked with mayors in New York and D.C., and he's in town this week to lead a panel on fostering entrepreneurship. Zipper stopped by the WCHL Afternoon News yesterday and spoke with Aaron Keck.
So the Mayor's Innovation Project was born actually out of the University of Wisconsin in Madison. Mm-hmm. And the idea is to basically bring together mayors from across the United States to exchange best practices around topics like stormwater management, spurring entrepreneurship, zoning regulations, where they can really talk peer-to-peer mm-hmm. without worrying that, frankly, you know, one sentence coming out the wrong way could get them in hot water. So it ends up being a little bit more lighthearted, a lot more relaxed, and there's a lot of very frank conversation that takes place.
So this is at the Carolina Inn, right?
That's correct.
Where it's taking place? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's some tourists, too.
Yeah, yeah. So so what is your role in this? You've worked with the Bloomberg administration in New York. I'm trying to remember what you said about your background. You've been doing economic development stuff for years and years. So you've what brings you down here?
Yeah, I'm like a city guy. I've been living in
the word I was trying to
There you go. Yeah, I'm living in places a lot bigger than Chapel Hill since I left the southern part of heaven. But So, yeah, I did work in the Bloomberg administration overseeing an economic development program in New York City. And in the last, basically until the beginning of this year, for the last previous 4 or 5 years, I oversaw economic development strategy for the last two mayors in Washington, D.C., which is where I live now. Mm-hmm. And in that role, I got involved with the Mayor's Innovation Project, where I gave a presentation on retail development strategies of the mayor's office in Washington. And I got involved in that way. So I've since left the mayor's office, and I now I'm one of the leaders of a large technology hub in Washington, D.C. called 1776 that works with entrepreneurs. We have about 240 entrepreneurs in our space. We're primarily working with government-y entrepreneurs in fields like transportation, healthcare, education. And because a lot of these entrepreneurs end up wanting to work with mayors from across the country to try out what they're doing, I've worked closely with Mayor's Innovation Project, and they invited me down to lead a panel discussion about how to foster entrepreneurship.
Okay.
With the town manager of Chapel Hill and the mayor of Asheville on it.
Awesome. So how does one foster entrepreneurship? I know you've worked with the Bloomberg administration. You've worked in D.C. So New York and D.C., economic development is probably going to be a little bit different for a big city than it is for a smaller town. But how does one?
Yeah, so I think it's a great question.
If you could
question.
Answer that in 20 seconds or less.
Oh, I should be paid a lot more than I am now, quite frankly, if I could do that. But what I would say, you know, there's a famous angel investor named Brad Feld, who's out of Boulder, Colorado, wrote a book called Startup Communities, if folks are really interested in it. And his answer is one that I believed strongly when I was a public official, which is to build a startup community and foster entrepreneurship, the entrepreneurs themselves have to lead. So it's actually, my advice to the mayors really is to go and talk to the angel investors and to the entrepreneurs in your community and find out if it's a problem of convening, if it's a problem of regulation, where it's too hard to start a business, if it's a problem of taxation or a problem of talent. You have to talk to them first. I can give you the answers that we found in Washington, but I won't pretend to know the answers here in Chapel Hill.
Right, right.
Not anymore.
That is David Zipper speaking with WCHL's Aaron Keck yesterday about this mayor's conference going on right now. It is the summer meeting of the Mayor's Innovation Project. It's happening at the Carolina Inn, and today is the last day. It's happening right here in Chapel Hill. It's 8:16. Time now for traffic and weather together. And this traffic report is brought to you by Crown Honda of South Point.
Thank you very much, Ron. The usual morning delays we're seeing this morning, 15501 northbound and southbound from NC54 to Garrett Road. Seeing some minor to moderate delays. You might see the taillights there, but really, other than that, not really any problems out there. That's the best of the news. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363, or you can send us a tweet. It's at WCHL Chapelboro. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
All right. Crown Honda of South Point has brought you this look at morning traffic. And Crown Honda of South Point is a home of Dream Service, where your scheduled service and maintenance happen while you sleep. Dream Service from Crown Honda of South Point, located just a minute off I-40 at the 751 exit. Now, turning to your Chapel Hill Carborough weather, brought to you this morning by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. 73 degrees, partly sunny, 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Our high today in the low 90s. Hot day, but it will be the hottest day we'll have for a while. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a 40% chance of rain and low about 70. Tomorrow, not quite as warm with a high of 85, 30% chance of rain, otherwise sunny skies. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, 30% chance of rain with a low in the upper 60s. And then on Sunday, a little bit cooler to end your weekend with a high only about 80 degrees and a slight chance of rain late in the day on Sunday.
Listen at home or while you work with live streaming on chapelboro.com. 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
WCHL news time is 8:18. Cruisers Convenience Marketplace serves fresh brewed coffee fast, guaranteed to taste great. Fuel up this morning at Cruisers, good to go. In other news this morning, North Carolina voters are not happy with the direction the nation is headed. The Civitas Institute is a conservative publication which conducted a poll in late July. In the release of the poll last week, it stated 70% of registered North Carolina voters think the United States is on the wrong track compared to the 20% of people who think things are headed in the right direction. In October 2012, the split was 55-40, with the majority still believing the nation was not in the right place. The number one issue voters said they were concerned about was the economy, and a close second, jobs and unemployment, followed by immigration, health care, and the current government. Neither political party had the upper hand in the poll when voters were asked which candidate they would vote for if the election for Congress was held on that day. state. 43% said the Republican, 43% said the Democrat. And when asked specifically how President Barack Obama's doing, almost to the midway point in his second term, 53% disapproved, 45% approved. To see a complete breakdown of the poll, you can find the story on our website, chapelboro.com. It's 8:19 at WCHL. Time now for championship sports. And we're going to start with a mighty big soccer game coming up tonight. Number 4-ranked UNC women's soccer team begins the 2014 season. And tonight, when perennial powerhouse 7th-ranked Stanford comes to town to take on the Tar Heels in the Carolina Nike Classic, it happens at Fetzer Field. WCHL's Matt Oakes has a preview.
Head coach Anson Dorrance's team gets its 2014 campaign started Friday night when it meets the Cardinal. That showdown will be broadcast right here on WCHL. The UNC women finished with a 20-5 mark in 2013, but enter this season with a few holes to fill, with 6 senior starters gone from last season. But as usual, the Tar Heels have plenty of talent returning, ready to step into starring roles. Another concern for the Tar Heels came in the form of a 2-1 exhibition loss to Missouri a week ago. Coach Dorrance says it was a frustrating experience, but there were still some positives to take away.
I saw animal absolute chaos, which is certainly going to be typical in the preseason. But I saw some flashes. I mean, me and my staff aren't entirely disappointed.
Some bright spots come in the form of production out of the freshman players. Coach Dorrance says he's liked what he's seen out of the newest additions to the nation's winningest college soccer program.
I think the freshmen are going to play. Obviously, it was nice to see Buckingham score in the first scrimmage against Wilmington, and then to see Alex Kimball score.
Despite the defeat, Coach Dorrance says he was pleased with the fight displayed by his young Tar Heels.
What you want to make sure your team is doing is competing. I thought in the second half we did. Missouri pressured us as we knew they would.
The Tar Heels aren't satisfied with where they're at right now, but the subpar performance against the Tigers might have been aided by injuries and national team obligations, which have kept a couple key playmakers off the Chapel Hill fields to date.
What we need to do is to see if we can play through the lines, and obviously we can't yet. And maybe some of the reasons are Hannah Gardner, who's a starting defender, is out. With an injury, but hopefully we'll get her back soon. Katie Bowen is representing New Zealand.
Ultimately, Coach Dorrance says he expects his team to grow as the season progresses and eventually be able to challenge the best in the ACC and nation.
We're going to improve through the season like we did last spring, and I think the team we'll put out there eventually will be a competitive one. So I'm not discouraged, I'm just a little disappointed.
It's hard to doubt the legendary coach of the Tar Heels as the first step in their annual quest for a national championship begins tonight in Chapel Hill. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHO.
And once again, that big game coming up tonight right here on WCHL, and also streaming live on our website, chapelboro.com, with Paul Connell doing the play-by-play. That big soccer match, Carolina and Stanford, coming up tonight at Fetzer Field on the UNC campus. Matt Oakes filed that report earlier. Of course, Matt's going to be really busy all season long with high school football on WCHL. He is a co-host of The Grid with Matt and Matt. Our high school football coverage always starts there, but our coverage actually starts tonight. And Matt, I want to talk to you about high school football in the area in general. What are the big matchups here at the start of the 2014 high school football season?
Ron, we've got a couple really good ones for you tonight. We've got Chapel Hill at Riverside. Now, the Tigers were really plagued by injuries a year ago, and yet they still pushed undefeated Orange to the brink in really a classic battle. Now they're healthy once again. They'll face a tough test right out of the gate, though, against Riverside. Last year they were nipped 17-14 by that same team, so Coach Marsh's bunch will definitely be out for some revenge. And also on tap tonight in our featured chapelboro.com game, we've got Cedar Ridge at Carrboro. Really, the big story here, Ron, is the reemergence of running back Trey Sharp. He missed last season due to a knee injury, but will it help the team return to that title-type form they had a couple years ago where they finished 15-1 and were state runner-ups? We'll have to see about that. But it's certainly a huge help to have Sharp back in the backfield for Carrboro. I mean, they're 18-2 with him in the lineup, and 1-7 without him, Ron.
Yeah, Jeff Hamlin will be doing the play-by-play on that, and that'll be streaming live on chapelboro.com. And who should we really look out for to make the biggest noise in the area when it comes to high school football this fall?
Ron, I have to go with Orange. They're definitely the team to beat out of our area schools. Following just missing out on an undefeated season last year, Coach Moser's boys seem to be locked and loaded again. We've coined them the Orange Crush after that vaunted defense they have over there in Hillsboro. And I think they're going to be hungry for some more zero candy bars, which they are awarded by the team if they pitch some shutouts. They had four last season, Ron. I'm expecting some more this season. Another intriguing team, though, to look out for is Northwood. The Chargers, it's Coach Bill Hall's final season, and we'll see if they have a chance to make a run. If they shore up the defensive issues they had last season, we know the offense has the capabilities to put up points. So another team to watch out for is Northwood.
Well, I know that you're going to be busy all season long, as I mentioned before, as a co-host of the Grid, and it's going to be really cool. Our coverage tonight starts at 6:30. You'll be interviewing most of the head coaches and talking about the night's biggest games and the season's biggest games and all that kind of stuff. So we'll look forward to hearing you tonight, Matt.
Ron, it's always an exciting time. We're looking forward to kicking things off. It should be a special night, and good luck with that bucket of ice water I hear you're getting dumped on later.
Yeah, in just a few minutes. It's not going to be long from now. Hey, thanks a bunch. That is
no problem, Ron.
Matt Oakes, and again, our high school football coverage kicks off tonight. We'll have the game for you, Cedar Ridge and Carrboro, on chapelboro.com. We'll usually have two high school football games going on at the same time, and tonight we'll have, of course, UNC women's soccer on the radio for you, and also streaming from our website, but on another stream altogether, high school football coverage with Jeff Hamlin on WCHL. And again, our pregame coverage starts at 6:30 with The Grid with Matt and Matt. 826 at WCHL.
Our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
To rebuild or renovate the Smith Center, that is the question. This is Art Chansky with Friday Sports Notebook. UNC Athletic Director Bubba Cunningham said this week that a decision to renovate the Smith Center or build a new arena is on the back burner because of so many unknowns in college athletics. The prospect of having to pay athletes has thrown the entire industry into a speculative frenzy. Carolina desperately needs to find new revenue streams for its athletic department, which operates on an $80 million budget. That means the school takes in $80 million from conference TV contracts, sponsorship rights, ticket sales in all sports, student fees, and concessions and royalties on licensed products. It pays out $80 million in salaries to coaches and staff and operating expenses. The money for about 600 athletic scholarships is raised separately by the Rams Club, and both entities contribute to capital campaigns. Renovating the Smith Center to widen its concourses, put in luxury suites like the Blue Zone in football, and upgrade its restrooms and other amenities will cost tens of millions of dollars. Building a new arena will cost hundreds of millions, like the Yum Center in Louisville, whose price tag was $300 million. But the latter would create a new revenue stream non-existent by renovating or standing pat. When the Smith Center was built with $32 million of private funding in the 1980s, the university was so worried about raising enough money that it sacrificed its opportunity to refinance the arena every 10 years or so. The rights to buy season tickets were granted to donors for their lifetime and the lifetime of their oldest child, unheard of in the era of five-year private seat licenses. So almost 30 years later, the alumnus who paid $25,000 for the right to purchase four tickets annually has never had to pay any more than that $25,000, and his or her oldest child gets to keep those seats for no additional forced donation. Renovating the Smith Center or adding some luxury suites won't change that. Building a new Smith-Williams complex would require season ticket holders to re-up to keep their seats and have to renew every few years. Some would choose to give up their seats, leaving them to a new generation of donors who have made millions since the Smith Center opened. It would take years for UNC to pay off a new arena, but in the long run, it would be worth the investment to create that permanent and adjustable revenue stream. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
This is Jeff Rubish. Did you know that doubling your homeowner's liability coverage can cost less than $10 a year? Homeowner's liability insurance will not only provide the legal defense costs, but also provide the coverage if you are found liable for an injury on your property. Increasing your homeowner's liability coverage is essential for complete financial protection and may not cost as much as you think. Call my office at 913-1144 to schedule a complete review of your insurance. This is Jeff Rubish. Did you know?
Will you be our neighbor? If you or someone you know is moving or building a home in Chapel Hill, Harrington Bank is your first stop in financing your new dream home. Harrington Bank offers competitive rates and products for construction loans, renovation loans, home equity loans, and refinancing options. Let's be neighbors and give us a call today. Harrington Bank is conveniently located at Southern Village, Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, and the intersection of Highway 54 and 40. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
Aren't you tired? Tired of worrying whether mom remembered to take her medications? Tired of staring at the phone until you hear that dad made it home safe from the store? Isn't it about time for a change? There's a reason you keep hearing our name. There's a reason friends keep telling you to call us. For over a decade, Home Instead Senior Care has been giving peace of mind to Tar Heel families, providing the support that seniors need to age in place. There is a difference, and that difference is Home Instead. Home Instead Senior Care. To us, it's personal.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Hair by Brittany. It's 50% off salon services. Choose from two hair treatment options. A shampoo deep conditioning treatment, trim and style, is only $32.50, normally a $65 value. Brittany Moore is a licensed cosmetologist who is now accepting clients at the Company Hair and Nail Salon in Durham on Shannon Road. Brittany is experienced with both cuts and color. She will cater to your personal style and create a look that's just for you. It's half off from Hair by Brittany, and it's available for a limited time. So buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carpenter weather, 73 degrees, partly sunny, 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms later on today. Our high temperature today in the low 90s, so maybe not quite as hot as yesterday, but it's going to be warm. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 70. Tomorrow, partly sunny, 30% chance of rain, high of about 85.
Check out our comprehensive community calendar, photo galleries, and all of our news stories and more from 97.9 FM, WCHL, on chapelboro.com.
CBS News Update, I'm Gary Nahn. Islamic militants, ISIS, threatening to attack Americans in any place, and the U.S. is responding, ramping up efforts in the widening war on terrorism. CBS's Margaret Brennan reports from the Pentagon that U.S. policymakers and planners are digging in for the long haul.
Long-term success requires an international coalition to fight ISIS and convincing locals to reject it.
Joint Chiefs Chairman General Martin Dempsey.
ISIS will only truly be defeated when it's rejected by the 20 million disenfranchised Sunni that happen to reside between Damascus and Baghdad.
CBS military affairs consultant Mike Lyons says, in hindsight, U.S. policy against ISIS hasn't been aggressive enough.
They're starting to make mistakes, okay? ISIS is on this sugar high for the past few weeks here, few months, with regard to what's going on. Now that the United States is involved at this level, we can't let them off the hook.
Defense Secretary Hagel says the U.S. is very clear-eyed about ISIS. CBS News Update, I'm Gary Nahn.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech, offering affordable and accessible quality education throughout Orange and Durham County. Visit durhamtech.edu and click on Continuing Education.
WCHL News and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
832, 73 degrees in Chapel Hill. I'm Ron Stutz. Local law enforcement officials are responding to citizen concerns about the militarization of police. Chapel Hill Police Department says while they do have one armored truck, it's never been deployed. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has details.
The Peacekeeper. That's the popular nickname for the Cadillac Gauge Ranger, a 4x4 armored personnel carrier that's made its way from the U.S. military to the Chapel Hill Police Department. Lieutenant Josh Misamore says while it's never been used, it's vital that the department have one on hand.
It's something that you don't need until you need it. And I think for us, being in a situation where we needed it and didn't have it would be much worse than having it and not needing it.
The 1985 Peacekeeper was decommissioned by the military and then transferred to the Durham Police Department. Chapel Hill acquired it in 2011, using state and federal programs that funnel military surplus to local law enforcement. In addition to the armored truck, Chapel Hill Police have also received military scopes and spare uniforms, but no weapons. Misamore says maintenance on the Peacekeeper is minimal, and to date it has only ever been used for training. If it were to be deployed, he says it would be for use as a rescue vehicle.
That is the reason that we got it. That's the way it's intended to be used and the way it would be used if we ever have to deploy it. That is that if an officer is down or a citizen is down in an area that it's unsafe for us to approach on foot or in a regular vehicle, we would use that armored vehicle to get officers in or medical personnel in to extract that officer or citizen in a safe way.
The Orange County Sheriff's Office also has an armored vehicle in its fleet, a V-150 Commando. But Misa Moore says the uses of the vehicles are different, and the logistics of deployment make it difficult for the departments to share.
There are always issues with sharing things, because who's responsible for the upkeep, who's responsible for getting it to us when we need it, how far away is it? Is it in Hillsborough where the sheriff's office is? Are you going to drive it, you know, the 15 or 20 minutes and delay a response?
Programs that transfer military surplus to local law enforcement have come under fire recently in the wake of the heavily armed police response to protesters in Ferguson, Missouri. The New York Times last week published information showing that nearly every county in North Carolina has received military surplus through the federal 1033 program. Law enforcement agencies based in Orange County have reportedly acquired 44 assault rifles and 6 armored vehicles, but it's not clear which agency has what. Misa Moore says he can only account for what Chapel Hill police have received.
I know they didn't come here.
Elected officials in Chapel Hill and Carrboro have said they plan to release more information on how military surplus is being used by local law enforcement. That report is still forthcoming. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Groups challenging sweeping changes to North Carolina's voting laws will appeal a judge's decision allowing this November's elections to be held under new rules drafted by Republican legislators. Lawyers for the North Carolina branch of the NAACP filed notice yesterday. They will ask the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals in Richmond to review an August 8th ruling by U.S. District Court Judge Thomas Schroeder. Schroeder denied a motion seeking to hold the November vote under old rules, saying the groups failed to show they would suffer irreparable harm. The 2013 law is considered among the most stringent in the nation. It makes more than 24 changes critics say will suppress turnout, including requiring voters to present government-issued photo ID, ending same-day registration, and trimming the early voting period. A North Carolina judge is ordering a stop to the use of taxpayer money to pay for tuition at private or religious schools. Wake County Superior Court Judge Robert Hobgood ruled on Thursday that the program is unconstitutional on several levels. Voucher advocates say they will appeal the decision. Hobgood says the program pays for students to attend schools that are not obliged to meet state curriculum requirements, violating the state constitution's guarantee for students to have an opportunity to a sound basic education. Hobgood said it's also unconstitutional for public funds to go to privately run and managed schools. The judge said money cannot go to private schools. The state agency managing the funds says money that was planned for distribution earlier this week has been stopped. WCHL News Time, 8:36. David Swartz has today's commentary coming up.
The rugged Samsung Galaxy S5 Active, exclusively from AT&T, stands up to most everything. Falls into the shallow end? No problem. Falls into a mud puddle? A-OK. Falls into a deep fryer? That's a no-no. Drop it in a mop bucket? Fine. Drop it in the chili con queso? No problemo. Drop it in a garbage disposal? Yeah, that's a problem. Rain shower? No biggie. Meteor shower? That would be a no.
AT&T, mobilizing your world. Make the most of this school year and get the Samsung Galaxy S5 Active for zero down with AT&T Next. Exclusive to AT&T, the Galaxy S5 Active is engineered for your active lifestyle. Visit att.com or store for details.
Device meets military standards for watering shock resistance, submersible to 3 feet for 30 minutes, rinse residue shock resistant for drops or falls less than 4 feet on flat surface. AT&T Next requires qualified installment agreement, credit, and wireless service. Taxes, other charges, and restrictions apply.
Well, ring-a-ding-ding, the year was 1936, and Leo and Lillian Goodwin were hot to trot for the world to save some big bucks on automotive insurance. So they opened up a little joint called Geico. Geico had the goods for all the dolls and Joes who were keen on swell service and keeping the cabbage.
Flash forward over 75 years, and Geico is still helping customers save money every day and with 97% customer satisfaction. Today, the peeps would refer to that as pretty darn tight.
Geico, saving people money for over 75 years.
Carolina MediSpa is proud to offer the newest technology in laser tattoo removal. It is estimated that close to 10% of the U.S. population has an unwanted tattoo, and eventually as many as 50% of them want to have them removed. There is good news for those who have unwanted body art. New laser tattoo removal techniques can eliminate your tattoo with minimal side effects, and now in as little as 6 treatments. Call Carolina MediSpa at 919-493-3194 to schedule a free consultation.
Weaver Street Realty has been in business on Main Street in Carrboro for 30 years and supports numerous local nonprofits. Gary Phillips is on the board of advisors for Pickards Mountain Eco Institute and leads nature hikes 5 to 10 times a year. A literary buff, Gary is on the Carrboro Poetry Council and a featured poet for Carrboro Day and the West End Poetry Festival. He has also served on the boards of the Abundance Foundation, the Dogwood Alliance, and Family Violence Rape Crisis Center. Gary Phillips of Weaver Street Realty cares about our community and yours.
August is the official back-to-school season, so Performance Chevrolet is joining the old bandwagon with our own back-to-school event. We realize value is of paramount importance. That's why you'll always find outstanding value that extends to the wow experience. Listen to what Joanne had to say about her Performance Chevrolet experience.
As always, my experience with Performance in Chapel Hill is an added plus when it comes to customer service. My sales rep is on top of everything that's needed to keep my Malibu on point. I love this place called Performance. Thank you. You guys are the best.
Now that's a wow. During our August back-to-school event, you can purchase a new Chevrolet for up to $6,000 off MSRP. Wow. Outstanding value throughout your Performance Chevrolet experience. That's the performance promise.
Stock number C4018. Dealer retains rebates. See dealer for details. Take delivery by 31 August 2014.
Performance Chevrolet loves to give back to the community. Our nonprofit spotlight this month is PTA Thrift Shop. Learn more about their mission at ptathriftshop.org. Visit PerformanceChevyChapelHill.com, where sales and service specials abound, or visit us in person in Chapel Hill, just a quarter mile off I-40.
You know, we have so many exciting things happening in sports this weekend here on WCHL, that we talked about the Carolina women's soccer team. They begin the 2014 season tonight when perennial powerhouse and seventh-ranked Stanford comes to town to take on the preseason number 4-ranked Tar Heels. That's in the Carolina Nike Classic going on at Fetzer Field. We'll have it for you right here on WCHL with Paul Connell handling the play-by-play. We also have high school football coming your way tonight. Jeff Hamlin on chapelboro.com will bring you the Cedar Ridge Carrboro game over in Carrboro. And our coverage of high school football always starts at 6:30 with The Grid with Matt and Matt Oakes and Matt Paul on the radio. Starting at 6:30. And we have been talking about all of that so much that we haven't talked a lot about Carolina football this morning. The countdown to Carolina football is 8 days. We are 8 days away from the season opener here in Chapel Hill. Tar Heels taking on Liberty in Kenan Stadium, 6 p.m. next Saturday, 8 days from now. And UNC welcomes the Big South's Liberty from the FCS. Larry Fedora and the Tar Heels wrapping up preseason training, coaching staff finalizing its starting lineups. A lot of eyes remain on the starting quarterback position. Big battle going on between Marquise Williams, the incumbent, and Mitch Trubisky, the guy who redshirted last year. Make sure to tune in to Countdown to Kickoff on WCHL beginning at 3 p.m. next Saturday, 1 week from tomorrow, followed by The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. And then we'll send it off to the Tar Heel Sports Network for the kickoff of Carolina and Liberty on your flagship station for Carolina Athletics. One more note about Carolina football. Carolina football kicks off the season 8 days away, and you can have a game day experience for less than half the normal price. Buy a Carolina football family pack. 4 tickets to the Liberty game, a $20 voucher for concessions, and $10 voucher for merchandise, all for $100. Go to chapelbro.com and click on the Carolina football family pack. It's just that easy. It's 8:42.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is David Schwartz. This week, Chapel Hill is hosting a conference of mayors from around the country. Our elected officials are no doubt eager to tell visitors, constituents, and the media about the many wonderful things that Chapel Hill town government is doing. And some good things have indeed been happening lately, such as the completion of the Morgan Creek Trail and the improvements to downtown sidewalks. But in other respects, the town's development efforts, including our first foray into form-based code, leave much room for improvement. For example, during the past year, our town government has taken on public debt for roads and stormwater infrastructure in the Ephesus Fordham District before completing the traffic, environmental, and fiscal analyses necessary to determine just how much these infrastructure improvements will end up costing us. It has further endangered our public finances by failing to set aside funds needed to meet the town's future pension obligations. It's used rezoning to enrich a handful of private landowners and developers without obtaining community benefits such as affordable housing or parkland. It's consistent ignored the planning recommendations of council-appointed advisory boards, committees, and paid professional consultants. And it has approved building heights and densities that are greatly at odds with the recommendations of urban planning consultants, with the stated preferences of the town citizens, and with the existing character of the community. As the conference continues today at the Carolina Inn, let's hope Mayor Kleinschmidt, our council members, and our town staff will get some ideas from the visitors about how to improve the town's planning, sustainability, and community participation efforts. Specifically, let's hope they'll come away from the conference ready, willing, and able to do the following. First, to develop financial models needed to ensure that the projected community benefits of new development outweigh the expected costs and that we make optimal use of our limited land and economic resources. Second, to integrate the planning recommendations of town advisory boards and expert consultants into their decision-making. Three, use development and growth as a tool for increasing the town's supply of affordable housing and other community benefits. And finally, carry out comprehensive stormwater and transportation planning and put in place the infrastructure needed to support a higher density population before approving new development. If the conference helps bring about these changes in the way our town government operates, then it will continue to benefit Chapel Hill long after the participants themselves have returned home. This is David Schwartz.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
It's 8:44. Ron Stutz is heading outside. We've got his ice bucket challenge coming up in just about 6 minutes.
I'm David Fitch of Fitch Lumber and Hardware. Just like on the playing field, teamwork is what you need to tackle any home project. Stop by and team up with Fitch Lumber and Hardware to score big on your upcoming goals. We can help. Get the local home field advantage at Fitch Lumber and Hardware, 309 North Greensboro Street in Carrboro, or call us at 919-942-3153. As always, thanks for your business.
Your Carolina football team kicks off the 2014 season in Keenan Stadium on August 30th at 6 p.m. It's Carolina versus Liberty in the first game of the season. Now's your chance to buy a Carolina football family pack. You can get four tickets to the Liberty game, a $20 voucher for concessions, and $10 voucher for merchandise, all for $100. It's the best way to get the whole family together to experience the action and cheer for the Tar Heels. Come support Coach Larry Fedora and the Carolina football team in their exciting season opener versus Liberty on August 30th. Buy a football family pack now. Go to chapelboro.com and click on the Carolina football family pack.
Hi, I'm Don Bassnight with Weaver Street Realty. If you've been renting for a while but want a place to call your own, give us a call. With interest rates still low, it really is a great time to buy. We'll connect you with good lenders so you understand your choices. Whether you want the bus line, a bike path, or a bush hog trail, our seasoned brokers can help you make a sound decision. Weaver Street Realty in downtown Carrboro for over 30 years, locally owned since day one.
Now on WCHL, a page from D.G. Martin's notebook.
Well, too many poets write their careful, perceptive, sensitive, and wise words to be shared only with a few trusted friends. But not Mebane's Jackie Shelton Reed, the award-winning poet, who will be installed into the North Carolina Literary Hall of Fame in Southern Pines on October 12th. She writes for a variety of audiences and in a variety of different ways, most recently in her new book, Feeding the Light, which is published by J.K.R. Press. Green was a poet laureate, the Piedmont Poet Laureate, in 2009 and received the prestigious North Carolina Award for Literature in 2003. She's seen her work inspire quilts and had her works choreographed and then performed by renowned dance companies. For all her accomplishments as a writer, she lets her friends and fans know that her primary motivation is public service. And for many years, she worked in legal services on issues like domestic violence. She said, "My mission as a writer has always been to help amplify the stories, the truths on paper to help transform humanity, one poem, one verse at a time." When she teaches other writers and aspiring writers, Green says that she gives her students assignments or projects, and then she always gives herself the same task and becomes a colleague rather than a director. Once, while working with women on death row, she prompted them by asking them to think about hands and to use those thoughts to begin to write. When she herself took on this assignment, the result was this poem, "I Know the Grandmother One Has Hands." But they were always in bowls, folding, pinching, rolling the dough, and making the bread. I know the grandmother one had hands, but they were always underwater, sifting rice, bluing clothes, starching lives. I know the grandmother one had hands, but they were always in the earth, planting seeds, removing weeds, growing knives, burying sons. I know the grandmother one had hands, but they were always under the cloth, pushing it along, helping it birth into skirt, dress, curtains, to lock out night. I know the grandmother one had hands, but they were always inside the hair, parting, plaiting, twisting it into rainbows. I know the grandmother one had hands, but they were always inside pockets, holding the knots, counting the twisted veins, holding on to herself, lest her hands disappear into the sky. I know the grandmother one had hands, but they were always inside the clouds, poking holes for the rain to fall. Well, if you'd like to hear Jackie Sheldon read that poem and talk about her life and writing, well, listen to Who's Talking this weekend on WCHL or anytime on the web at chapelburr.com. And if you'd like to read more about her, check Sunday's Chapel Hill Herald. And remember, you're invited to the Weymouth Center in Southern Pines on Sunday, October 12th at 2 p.m. for Green's induction into the North Carolina Literary Hall of Fame. We should all be proud. This is D.G. Martin.
It's 8:49. That means Ron Stutz's Ice Bucket Challenge is coming up next. But first, a look at traffic and weather together. I'm sure he's glad we can delay it just a second or two longer. It's presented by Crown Honda of South Point. Your look at traffic. No major problems out there. Just the usual morning slowdowns. Be on the lookout for the taillights. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363, or you can tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro. As always, we ask you do that safely. Crown Honda of South Point is home of Dream Service, where your scheduled service and maintenance happen while you sleep. Dream Service from Crown Honda of South Point, located just a minute off I-40 at the 751 exit. That brings us to your Chapel Hill Carver weather reports. And right now, it is not too bad out there. Ron Stutz is going to think it's a little cooler here in just a moment. But today, expect partly sunny skies, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon, highs in the lower 90s. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, lows around 70. And tomorrow, partly sunny skies, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms with highs in the mid-80s. It's 8:51, and right now, the moment I've at least been waiting for all morning long, and for the last few days, actually. Sending it out to Ron Stutz. He's got his Ice Bucket Challenge. Again, remember to stay tuned to chapelboro.com. Just a little bit later this morning, we'll post the video of what this great thing is that's about to happen. Ron, you feeling warm enough out there?
Oh, it feels plenty warm right here in the sunshine, Ran. And I have to say, I mean, this is an exciting moment. Bob Crane even showed up with, and I woke up with Ron Stutz's T-shirt on. And, you know, the ALS challenge, I want to make sure that we don't lose the seriousness of the moment. Everybody's been joking around, and you see people falling down and getting wet, and it is quite a jolt. But it's all for the benefit of raising money for research for ALS, which is a terrible disease. I want everybody to know I'm doing this in honor of Vivian Connell, a woman here in Chapel Hill who was recently diagnosed with ALS. And she's a teacher. A lot of folks know her. She's also been a WCHL hometown hero. And I'm doing it in her honor. I was challenged initially by Judge Alan Bedour, and then also by Susie Havens and by Molly Lewis. And Rand Northam called me out on the air. So I guess I can't delay it any longer. Before I get the water and the ice dumped on me, I just want to say that I'm calling out some people myself. Number one, the aforementioned Rand Northam. Also, Aaron Keck, Art Chansky, and D.G. Martin. Now, if you work at WCHL and chapelboro.com and you didn't hear your name, consider yourself lucky. I would also like to send it all the way out to Oregon. I know this is a nationwide thing. So far, it's raised over $42 million. I want to send it out to my son, Zach, in Coos Bay, Oregon, and a good friend of his, Dave Lopez, so they can get it going out there if it's not already. And finally, I want to call out the Raging Grannies. So, Raging Grannies, I'm challenging you too. If you want to donate, you can go to alsa.org to find out more how you can do that. And now, the ice bucket challenge, I accept it. Hit me. Ah! Oh, my gosh. Woo! Hey, fellas, what's cooler than cool? Ice cold! Woo! Ah.
Oh.
Thank goodness it's over. Back to you in the studio, Rand.
Well, thank you very much, and I hear your challenge, and I'll get right on that. Thanks so much. Ron Stuntz with the Ice Bucket Challenge. Again, we'll have the video of that. It sounds like it's going to be pretty exciting. I couldn't see it from here, but it sounds like it's going to be a good one. We'll have that video up in just a short period of time on chapelboro.com, so stay tuned to that. Right now, it is 8:54, and do you remember Wayne Pond's word of the day? Now is the time to call in, and you'll have to spell it. You'll have to define it. Tell us what Wayne Pond's word of the day was from just an hour ago, and we'll give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers, where you are good to go.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Roger Linhart, co-founder of Norm's Farm, wants you to know about a free music festival coming up this Saturday.
Well, we started doing elderberry festivals a few years ago, and we felt like it would be a great way to kind of pay back the community. We do a lot of music events around, and we get a lot of support from our musician friends that way. And so we thought this would be a really nice way to bring the community together to celebrate our local musicians, local craftspeople. We've got some breweries that are making elderberry beer. We're going to have an elderberry cocktail menus with elderberry on the recipes. So just a great way to let everybody know how much we appreciate all the work and support they've given us over the years, our way of giving something back.
Roger Linhart is today's WCHL hometown hero, but he's not the only one there tomorrow at the Elderberry Festival.
We have a couple partners. We've got the Bear Creek Brewery, and they're going to be making two types of elderberry beer. We've also got Full Steam Brewery up in Durham making a Berliner Weiss, which is a white Berlin, and they use elderflowers in that brew. So this is going to be one of the most unique beers people have ever had an opportunity to taste. They've donated that to our hospitality, so all the artists, performers, and volunteers will get to sample some of those great products some of our partners are making.
It's a big community happening. It's being presented for free. Entertainment on five stages for 11 hours tomorrow. Brought to you by Roger Linhart and Norm's Farm. And it's all happening at Southern Rail.
Norm's Farms is a local business. We hail out of Pittsburgh. We named ourselves Norm's Farms because of my father. He was very inspirational, believed in farm preservation and wildlife conservation. He worked his whole life so we could have a bought and paid for farm, and we felt it was really important to kind of honor him in the naming of our business. And we base our business all around the American elderberry, Sambucus canadensis. So we make several products with the elderberry, both a daily supplement. We got a wellness syrup and an extract, but we've also got some treats, which are in the form of jams and jellies, you know, ginger pecan jam, an elderberry blueberry preserve. And then we're also working with the elder flowers to create some fun recipes.
It's a free event, but show a little appreciation for the musicians.
This is a free event, no charge. You guys just come on in and enjoy yourself. We are asking for some donations and some tips for the musicians. All the musicians have agreed to do this. They're not expecting any pay, but we want to reward them because they're all very talented. I also want to do a big reach out for Cindy Jones and Jeff Lindsay. They're helping to book the bands and working really hard to make this happen, along with lots of other great volunteers.
It's a big community event tomorrow from noon to 11 in Carrboro. Go to elderberryfestival.com. And congratulations, Roger Linhart, today's WCHL hometown hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
Well, we had John Coffey called in with the word of the day. We have Bob Crane here today as well. He showed up with a I Woke Up with Ron Stutz t-shirt. So we're going to say a very special thanks to both of those gentlemen. And thanks to Wayne Pond, as always, for his word of the day today. It was Nimrod. It's 8:57.
I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. We're committed to fountain drink perfection. That's why we make ours with 100% filtered water and serve them at an ice-cold 34 degrees over our famous Chewy Ice. They're only 79 cents every day, great taste at a great price. We're so sure you'll like the taste that we guarantee it. The next time you fill up at one of our 24 Cruisers locations, come inside and enjoy the perfect fountain drink made just the way you like it.
79-cent fountain drinks with Chewy Ice, only at Cruisers. Good to go.
And one and two?
Meet Samaya. She may seem like an ordinary four-year-old budding ballerina, but she's a champion at heart. Samaya was diagnosed with congestive heart failure at 4 months old. That's when UNC Children stepped in with a life-saving transplant she needed. As a leading children's hospital in the Southeast, we provide care for future champions of all ages, like Samaya, so she can get back to dancing and we can say we knew her when. Visit unccchildrens.org.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Hair by Brittany. It's 50% off salon services. Choose from two hair treatment options. A shampoo deep conditioning treatment, trim and style, is only $32.50, normally a $65 value. Brittany Moore is a licensed cosmetologist who is now accepting clients at the Company Hair and Nail Salon in Durham on Shannon Road. Brittany is experienced with both cuts and color. She will cater to your personal style and create a look that's just for you. It's half off from Hair by Brittany, and it's available for a limited time. So buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at durhamtech.edu.
It's 8:59. Ron Stuntz is off tallying off, so we'll hear from him again on Monday morning. But you can see his video on chapelboro.com. That'll be posted within the next hour of his Ice Bucket Challenge for ALS. A big thanks to Ron Stuntz, and I'll get working on mine for sure. Your weather report for today, partly sunny skies, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon with highs in the lower 90s. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, lows around 70 degrees. If you haven't done the challenge yet, consider yourself challenged.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
CBS News, I'm Peter King. The Obama administration says the Islamic State organization known as ISIS or ISIL has become a bigger threat to the U.S. than Al-Qaeda before 9/11. CBS's Margaret Brennan has more on the challenges ahead.
The highest-ranking officer in the U.S. military, General Martin Dempsey, said defeating ISIS requires hitting its fighters inside of Syria.
ISIS will only truly be defeated when it's rejected by the 20 million disenfranchised Sunni that happen to reside between Damascus and Baghdad.
And that requires airstrikes?
It requires a variety of instruments, only one small part of which is airstrikes.
Long-term success, he said, requires an international coalition to fight ISIS and convincing locals to reject it.
In eastern Ukraine, a Russian relief convoy has entered the country, and in Kiev, CBS's Cammie McCormick reports the government is not happy.
Ukrainian authorities say 90 trucks from a Russian aid convoy have crossed into Ukraine without permission, and they're calling it a direct invasion by Russia. These trucks have been sitting near the border for days undergoing inspection, but they weren't cleared to move. The Ukrainians say they won't use any force against the convoy. Russia says it was no longer prepared to tolerate any delays.
Two American healthcare workers being treated for Ebola are out of an Atlanta hospital and in the clear. And CBS's Dr. John LaPook says what happened with these patients may help others.
Emory's medical team says there's no way of knowing whether the experimental ZMAP treatment or blood transfusion from an Ebola survivor made any difference. But the doctors say they learned valuable lessons about how to treat Ebola, how to manage fluids, electrolytes, and clotting problems. And that may help healthcare workers who are dealing with Ebola in Africa.
It's the morning after a second calm night in Ferguson, Missouri. CBS's Steve Futterman is there.
Only seven people were arrested. Overall, it was a peaceful evening.
There were no Molotov cocktails, no fires, no shootings.
Missouri Highway Patrol Captain Ron Johnson.
We deployed no smoke devices, no tear gas, and no mace.
The number of protesters continues to dwindle. There are fewer police on the street as well.
A new chapter in that mystery involving those white flags that appeared on New York's Brooklyn Bridge.